Or just a very brief word. In the book of Samuel, we read 1 Samuel 23 verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they made a covenant between the Lord and David, before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Turn back to chapter 20 and verse 42. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed, my seed and thy seed for ever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. And chapter 18, and it came to pass, verse 1, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow, and to his girdle. Just a simple little thought, dear friends, this evening. We've been speaking about the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to set up a kingdom. And that verse that we opened with in Samuel, the words of Jonathan, he could say to David, Thou shalt be king. And you know, we've been speaking this afternoon much about the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to be supreme in this world. That he is going to be the one who is going to rule. Up until now, the kingdoms that we've been mentioning, there's been complete and utter failure. But there is a man coming into this scene who's going to rule, and everything is going to be according to the mind and the will of God. And if we know that, I believe there should be a practical effect in each one of our lives. That as we go our way from here, whether it's at the beginning of the week or at the end of the week, there will be something different seen in each one of us. You know, when we look at Jonathan, there was a day in Jonathan's life when he was totally devoted to David, where it says on one occasion, His love to me was greater than the love of women. Jonathan loved David. And I believe that Jonathan loved David as we had it in this 18th chapter. Because when he saw David go down into the valley of Elah to fight Goliath, Jonathan said, That's where I should be. And you know, beloved, when we look at the Lord Jesus as the one that went to the cross, can we not say, That's what we deserve. We deserved the judgment of God. But he bore that judgment. What a wonderful Saviour we have. And as a result of that, it says in these verses that we read, the first thing, Jonathan stripped him of the robe that was upon him. We read in one of, I think it's in the Judges, that there were garments that were suitable for the king's daughters. And here was something which marked Jonathan out. It made everybody realise that he was the king's son. And he took it off. He took off that which made him something. And he gave it to David. You know, beloved, if we really appreciate what Christ has done in his death upon Calvary's cross, those things which are a mark of distinction to you and me, we will want to lay at the Lord's feet. The Apostle Paul, I think he got the grips with this, when he says, those things which were gain to me, and there was much that Paul as a man were of gain to him, he says, I count but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, he was prepared to lay them aside. But not only did he lay aside his robe, but he took off his garments. And the Apostle Paul not only speaks about the things which were gained to him, but then he speaks of all things. Are we prepared to lay everything, as it were, at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Because at the beginning of the life of Jonathan, he was prepared to give, as it were, everything to David. We notice in these verses that Jonathan never gave his shoes. He seemed to have kept his shoes on. And yet, he was loyal to David. And yet there came a time in the life of Jonathan when he had to make a choice. And that choice was, am I going to go with David, or am I going to go back into the city? And Wes, we very often speak to our young people, and it is good and it is proper that we spend time labouring with the young people, that they keep themselves hard to the Lord and that they keep devoted to the Lord Jesus. I believe that we find examples of those that are not the young ones, those that were older, that left the Lord. We find an example in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Remember, it's at the end of the life of Paul in 2 Timothy. He could speak there, only Luke is with me. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, I think that this is what happened with Jonathan. He loved the city. He loved the world. There was that there which was attractive to Jonathan. And instead of going with David, he went back into the city. There's a world out there which is not only attracting and not only attractive to young people, but it's attractive to me. And I'm sure if we're honest with ourselves, we will say it's attractive to us. And then we come to that next verse, the verse that I really wanted just to draw to your attention. Jonathan says, thou shalt be king. Jonathan knew it. He knew very well, but you know what Jonathan said was true. He shall be king. But he said, I shall be next unto you. You know, the next time we read of Jonathan is in, I think it's the 31st chapter of that same book. And he's not next to David, but he's next to Saul on the Mount of Gibeah. He's been slain. And the scriptures tells us quite simply, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. You know, there's a wonderful day coming when the Lord Jesus will reign. And there will be those that will be reigning with him, will be those that have suffered in the time of his rejection. And the challenge to my heart and to each one of us, are we prepared to be those that suffer in the time of his rejection? If I could find it in the second chapter, 2 Samuel, just reference to Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel 19, verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day that the king departed, until at the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And we'll drop down for the sake of time to verse 29. And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matter? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. This occasion we find that David is the rejected king. David is the one that is not at this period of time being hunted by Saul, but it is from his own family, Absalom. And he is the one that is rejected. He is the one that goes forth over the brook out of Jerusalem. And we find that there was a company that went with him and had associated with David in his rejection. And here was a man, Mephibosheth. He couldn't follow David because he was lame on both his feet. And Ziba, his servant, who was a servant of Saul, slandered against him. And David, here he speaks to Mephibosheth. And what is Mephibosheth's answer? He says, to put it into paraphrase, he says, that doesn't matter. The only real thing that matters is that you're back in Jerusalem as king. And you know, while we're waiting for this glorious day for the Lord to come back, let some of the characters that are seen of Mephibosheth in verse 24, not literally, he'd neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard, but there was that about Mephibosheth which marked out that here was a man who was not prepared to enjoy this life while David was rejected as king. You know, is that true of each one of us? Because the one thing about Mephibosheth, if he looked back on his life, he would realize that the only reason why he is where he is because of the love of God and because of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Mephibosheth had nothing going for him at all, and nor did any of us here. We were sinners of the Gentiles, and yet because of the grace and the love of God, we've been brought into a wonderful place of blessing, the supreme place of blessing, the best place of blessing that we've got. What is our attitude at this very moment? We're living in a day when the king is rejected. How are we going to live? How is our lives going to be governed? Are we going to be like Mephibosheth, one that lives a life here which is, as it were, openly seeing that we're living, waiting for the day when the king comes? And when the king comes back, what matters is not what we have got. And we're not here working for rewards. We're here because we want the king to be back on his throne. And what a glorious day it will be. I just trust that these few words will help each one of us in our daily lives to live with the expectancy of the coming king. The Lord Jesus is going to come. He's going to reign supreme in this world. Is it going to make a difference on our lives?